So, Heather, we're approaching the 10th anniversary of this whole Nightmare on Elm Street thing. I mean, the original 5 very popular sequels. How has all this success affected you personally?
Well, I don't know if it really has, Sam. With the exception of 1 and 3, I pretty much stayed out of it. And, well, you know, I'm doing a lot more television now, so those hours let me spend a lot more time with my husband and my little boy.
That's right, you have a little boy. What's his name?
Dylan.
With Dylan, does that change your feeling, your perspective about horror movies?
No, not really.
I mean, would you let him see one of your movies?
My son? No.
I'm sure people ask you this all the time. Is there going to be another sequel? And what's more, is Freddy really dead?
Of course he is.
Hello and welcome back to Real Horror Show. Finally,
yes,
we are a horror movie review podcast, and I am once again joined by my co-host, the Stormy Skies.
Hello.
Before we actually get started, should we clear the air of where we've been, or just
we might as well, for the fans' sake. I know that they've been kept up
fan.
At night. The listeners,
the one,
they want to know. Our one fan wants to know.
Yeah, so we did record this episode already, but our old microphones were shit, so we waited to get a couple Blue Yetis, and that took forever because they're expensive, and then we graduated from grad school in July, and then immediately afterwards, both of us moved. Separately, not together.
Not together, yes.
Well, I mean, we moved on the same day,
same day, just different directions. Opposite directions, actually.
Oh.
I know, it's sad.
And so we had to get settled, and I had to buy a desk and get a better computer. But we're back, and hopefully we'll get on a consistent schedule with everything.
Yes, hopefully. We can try.
Hopefully we'll get our shit together.
But now that that's cleared up, Sam, I think you should take it away with the introduction of this podcast episode.
Yeah. So this week we are discussing Wes Craven's new Nightmare, which is the final official Nightmare on Elm Street movie up until Freddy vs. Jason in 2003, I believe. And it was the last Nightmare on Elm Street movie directed by Wes Craven himself. And it's
May he rest in peace.
It came out 3 years after Freddy's dead, I think, or 2 years.
Don't even ask me that. I don't even fucking know that. I should know. I shouldn't say stuff like that on this podcast.
I don't need to deal with your sass.
They won't take us seriously at all.
It's fine. So, basically, this was Wes Craven's way of ending the series because, as we all know, he did not direct Freddy's Dead. It was directed by a woman. And if that ever goes on Netflix, or it's on Hulu, I guess, we could talk about how groundbreaking that shit was. So yeah, shall we get into the movie by talking about the characters and how we felt about their performances?
I think there's no other way to begin than with that.
I will let you start that while I go close my bedroom door, because my microphone is picking up the air conditioning.
Okay, absolutely. See, I turned my air conditioning off.
Well, I have central air, and I didn't close my door. I'm sorry.
Well, shit. My air's off and my fan's off, so it's, like, completely, utterly silent.
Yeah. Well, as thrilling as this shit is, get talking about the characters.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Today I rewatched this movie for the second time, and looking back at my notes, the first thing I said to myself was, holy shit, did Heather get hot? Wow. Wow, she has always been stunning, but every time I see her, I'm like, oh shit, Heather, or, you know, Nancy, whatever your name is.
In this movie, she is Heather.
Yeah, but sometimes they call her Nancy. because they want her to be Nancy.
Well, that's because they're starting to go into the movie. The movie is starting to become... Wait, real life is starting to become the movie.
This also, like, going through this again, I'm like, shit, her son, I can, like, seriously do without her, like, psycho kid fucking screaming constantly.
I can't see this movie working without the kid because... As I mentioned annoying. In our last recording yeah. of this, you know, the first movie came out in 1984, and this came out 10 years later. And so, by this point, the original fans of Nightmare on Elm Street have moved on. They've grown up. They probably have their own kids. So, it makes sense to give Heather a kid, because then that kind of eats away on, like, the new fears these old fans had. Now that they're parents, most likely. I mean, it's the 90s. People right. were having kids pretty early on then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it does make sense. It's trying to show you that, like, she's no longer a kid or a teenager. Like, she does great, you know, in the film. But she's, like, she does great, but also, like, rewatching it, she's, like, constantly fucking nervous about all this shit. And she's, like, on edge all the time. And it's, like, makes me nervous when I'm watching it. I'm just like, wow, like... Jesus, and come off the edge. And then she is with that guy Chase, who's like the, I don't know, the prop guy.
He's the special effects artist, I believe.
Yeah. And so he, I wrote that he lacks a lot of self-discipline because he fell asleep behind the wheel and ended up dying. Like, whether Freddy Krueger is involved or not, like, you'll fucking die if you fall asleep at the wheel when you're driving your car. Like,
well, let's you're be real. Gonna die if you fall asleep at the wheel of your car anyway, but
yeah,
this is technically reality, quote unquote, so I don't think they really thought Freddy Krueger was gonna be the one to kill him until you get to the morgue scene and she pulls down the blanket and he's got these huge claw marks gashed out of his chest.
Yeah, also it takes literally 98% of the movie until you actually see, like, evil Freddy come out of the closet. I'm like, wow, I feel like I've been watching this for 3 hours already. Holy shit.
Come out of the closet, you say?
He did. That's where he was. He surprised her, but...
Yeah.
Couple other notes about the acting and the performance. Let's see. I adore seeing Robert Englund, just because he's just wonderful and he's so chill and down to earth.
Absolutely.
And funny, and he looks so suave, and he has, like, these purple sunglasses, and I'm like, wow, like, Robert, you're great. And then Wes is there too, but he... There's something about him, like, the air of seeing him on film. It's really, like, surreal mm-hmm. to see him on right. film. And, like, also he has this air about him where he's, like, kind of very weird, and he's this, like, very weird vibe.
Yeah, he's definitely playing, like, the perception of what people think he would be IRL.
Yeah, I think so, too. May he rest,
like,
in peace.
I've seen interviews on our Nightmare on Elm Street discussion. I mentioned the, like, 4-hour documentary about the series, and he's a very charming guy, so I definitely don't think this creepy version of him is
right.
who he actually was in real life.
I still gotta watch that.
Yeah, when you have a day off and don't feel like doing anything else, it's a really great way to kill a Sunday afternoon. It's really interesting.
I think I will
and,
do that.
And, you know, this wasn't even their original concept for his appearance in this movie.
Yeah.
Originally, and they say this in the documentary, they had this concept where he would pull up in a white van driven by the producer of the original The Hills Have Eyes in a cameo role, and Heather would get into the back of the van, and Wes would be there typing on a laptop or a typewriter the new script, and he can't go to sleep. In fact, he can't go to sleep, that he even cut off his own eyelids to prevent himself from falling asleep.
Nice.
So there were a lot more dark elements in the original conception of this film, but I think ultimately they decided to go in a more realistic direction.
Yeah, and I like that too.
And you'll notice, this is more of a production note,
mm-hmm.
but you'll notice at the beginning there are actually no opening credits.
Oh shit, yeah. I keep, like, not noticing that, but also, like, I did notice that, but I didn't. But now that you mention it, yeah.
Yeah, that totally was worked. Intentional on Wes's part because he wanted it to feel more like a documentary than an actual, you know, film.
Right. I love how her father from the first film turns up to help her, and he steps in as kind of a father figure to her, and she like calls him up all hours of the night when she's in distress. Mm-hmm. The guy in the morgue is Kenny from Scream.
Yes, you mentioned that.
Yes, I'm gonna mention it again. Because they didn't hear it last time, Samantha.
In the episode that we didn't release.
I'm going to fucking re-mention everything I mentioned before. Okay. God damn it. I didn't make it. I made one new note.
So does that mean we need to bring up our startling revelation from last time?
What was that?
The door? How Friday the 13th ripped off the Leprechaun series?
Yeah, because it went to like the space thing.
Yeah. Leprechaun sent the X. Leprechaun to space. Before they did that with Nightmare, not Nightmare. Thank God they never went to space in Nightmare on Elm Street. Before they sent Freddy to space. Jesus. And like, I fucking love Jason X.
Jason X is some shit.
It is probably my favorite Friday the 13th film, and that's saying a lot since I feel like we've shat on Friday the 13th a lot in our first and only episode.
I feel like we have, haven't we?
It just got so bad so fast.
It did. Even in the first one, it got bad.
Like Nightmare on Elm Street, you can excuse when it gets campy because, you know, dreams and shit.
Right.
But then...
Mutant evil baby from the swamp, but it's actually not really Jason, it's the mom. Like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here, that shit.
Like, when you get to the point where... Jason is fighting a girl with psychic abilities.
Yes.
Shit's hit the fan and you're out of ideas and you just need to stop.
Right.
Like, Jason Takes Manhattan, what even was that? He was on a boat half the movie. It should be Jason on a boat.
Jason on the cruise ship.
Yes. Anyway, back to the movie at hand.
Yeah, anyway, but... fucking hell.
Kenny from Scream.
Yeah, that's fucking him. Because this movie happened, like, before... It was, like, Scream happened, I want to say, like, what, 3 years after this came out? Because that was, like, 96. Scream came out in 96. The lady... The nurse lady in the hospital. Not the black lady, but the white lady that gives her son sleeping pills. She's, like, brunette hair. She is... Laurie Strode's teacher in the original Halloween. She's her English teacher.
Oh, interesting.
That's the only thing I can pick up on when I watch films is, like, what this person has been in previously and how they're recycled, like, all these, like, little actors that have been in other movies.
Yeah, this movie in particular has a lot of really nifty cameos in it. The producer she talked to at New Line Cinemas... That's actually, like, the executive producer at New Line Cinemas. He's the one who greenlit Nightmare on Elm Street when Wes Craven first, like, came up with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Depp wasn't in it, but the only reason Johnny Depp wasn't in it was because Wes Craven was too afraid to ask him if he'd make a cameo.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, Johnny Depp said, yeah, if you would have asked, I would have definitely come back for a quick
Right. Yeah, that would have been cool. The other dude's there.
Yeah, Rod.
Yeah.
Right? That's his name, right?
Yeah, I think so. Probably.
The guy who just, like, greets everybody by jumping.
Yeah, the guy who fucking likes to kidnap people in broad daylight with his fucking switchblade and shit. The fuck out of here, Rod.
Who carries a switchblade in 1984?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Rod. Who's after you, Rod? Who hurt you? Why are you acting out? I guess, like, last note for, like, acting and performance is, like, this is my favorite version of Freddy so far. Next to Freddy versus Jason, just because his, the makeup is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I just love that look. And I love the trench coat look. It's just great.
I think this was a great way to personify Freddy as something more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the whole concept behind this movie in particular, because this is such a great way to close the series in general.
Yeah.
Like, make Freddy out to be, like, this ominous presence, like, pretty much the devil himself.
Right, right.
And he needs, in order to contain him, he needs to be this character trapped in these movies, and I just think that's something so special that only Wes Craven can give you without it being completely asinine.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Nobody else would have been able to do this but him.
I mean, there's a reason he was called Horror Master Wes Craven.
Oh yes. And that he was. May he rest in peace.
The horror masters of the 80s all have their own special flair to them, like Jim Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
I might get flack for this, but he's just the king of campiness. Like, his movies are just
phenomenal. You mean John Carpenter?
John Carpenter.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, wait, Jim Carpenter.
I always call him Jim Carpenter.
It's cool. They probably call him Jim, like, around town.
Probably.
Like, hey, Jim.
Like, he seems like a cool dude. And do you know how involved he is with the new Halloween movie? Is he involved at all?
I don't fucking know. Probably not. Was he?
I know.
Wasn't he involved with Rob Zombie a little bit? Didn't he, like,
no,
go... Because I swear, didn't Rob Zombie, like, go and ask him if it was okay?
Yeah, I think I watched a brief documentary on Halloween, and the end they talked about the remake, and Rob Zombie was like, yeah, I called up Jim Carpenter and asked him if it was okay, and Jim Carpenter was like, I don't give a shit. Or something like that.
Or like, I don't give a fuck what you do. Who are you again, Sonny?
Basically. Like... I love Halloween's probably my favorite of the serial killers, but
you mean like Michael Myers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's probably my favorite series, and then Nightmare on Elm Street just because the John Carpenter take is so different from the Wes Craven's take on like horror.
Oh yeah. And... Wow, that's like a great point to bring up is like how different all these like I guess there's, like, maybe, like, three or four, like, main things. It's, like, Jason Voorhees, mm-hmm. Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and, like, back-to-back, like, they're just so different.
Yeah, and that does relate to the podcast in general, just how we interpret horror and what actually makes something scary.
Right, right.
Like, the original Halloween was mm-hmm. made on a very small budget of $300,000.
Right.
And there's actually... very little to no gore effects in that movie, and it works because it's such a simple fear John Carpenter played off of in those movies where there's a creepy guy stalking babysitters. That's a tale as old as babysitting itself. The whole the phone call is coming from inside the house thing.
Oh shit.
And then Wes Craven just takes kind of crazier ideas than John Carpenter sometimes,
mm-hmm.
even though John Carpenter does a lot of sci-fi Escape from New York shit.
Right, right.
Like, Wes Craven was never really afraid to go to these, like, super dark places. His first movie was about a gang rape, for fuck's sake.
Which was that?
Last House on the Left.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were, those two girls were, like, gang raped and then murdered.
Was that the original or the remake?
The original. In the remake... the girl does live, but...
Yeah, she does, because she's a good swimmer.
Yeah, but,
and her father's a doctor.
I haven't seen the remake, but,
I haven't seen the original.
She dies, and then the parents go get revenge, and the mom bites off one of the guy's dicks.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, it's like, wow. Gang rape, like a snuff film.
It used to be on Netflix, I don't think it is anymore.
Damn,
and then, he followed that up with The Hills Have Eyes, which is... batshit
wow
crazy.
That's fucking outrageous shit. I remember the first time I saw that movie, I thought it was gonna be like an okay fun movie, like, all right, like, fucking no way. That was some crazy shit.
That's just, he's always had these broad ideas for,
but that's a fabulous
movies.
Idea of course everyone's yeah. always thinking about like what's out there in the desert. There's like, you know, the nuclear, you know, factories that are shut down, are there mutants? And he just like made it happen. Incredible.
Yeah, and then you get Nightmare on Elm Street a few years later, which is about a serial killer in people's dreams.
But people freak the fuck out because they're so afraid of that.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy how in the hands of anyone else, this could have been, like, so dumb.
Yeah, or, like, so botched. It would have been just, like, yeah.
Like, I'm sure a John Carpenter mm-hmm. Nightmare on Elm Street would just be off the walls, batshit insane.
Oh, sure.
That's just mostly what he does. Wasn't a Halloween 3 the last one John Carpenter officially did?
Oh, fuck. That was Season of the Witch, so that didn't even have anything to do with Michael Myers.
Yeah, but that's what he wanted the rest of the series to be.
I know, it just didn't... Yeah, so I think you're right about that.
To be an anthology rather than just Michael Myers.
Didn't someone else do the sequel, though, Halloween 2?
Maybe. Maybe. That's something to Google.
Let me just do that now.
Who directed Halloween 2?
I'm just Googling old Sonny Jim.
Yeah, it was Richard L. Rosenthal.
I fucking knew it. I was like, it's not John Carpenter. He did the first one.
Yeah, and he had to have done the third one, because I feel like he didn't want the series to be all about Michael Myers.
Let me check, baby.
Because that really wasn't... That simple serial killer wasn't really what he did as a filmmaker. He did more monster movies, like The Thing. He did the remake of The Thing, and...
No, he did Halloween and Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers. Really? Someone else did Halloween 3.
Maybe did Halloween 4?
He possibly, like, produced it. I don't know. No, Halloween 2, writer, That's
so weird. I could have sworn it was John Carpenter who wanted Halloween to be.
Hang on. Wait, let me take care of this shit right now.
I hope you're enjoying our podcast on John Carpenter.
Halloween and... Yeah. I don't see him doing anything with Halloween 3. It looks like he produced Halloween 3 and Halloween 2, but he only directed and produced the first one.
Okay, that's...
And he wrote the original, you know, theme song on his piano right quick for the first one.
But anyway, as I'm trying to explain these batshit crazy ideas that Wes Craven has, I would picture more coming from John Carpenter, because... Traditionally, outside of Halloween, he does these big, crazy sci-fi action movies and The Thing. He also did Mars Attacks, right?
Yes.
I know he did Escape from New York and then Escape from LA. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to do a third one called Escape from Mars, but that never happened, and it became another movie, but I'm not 100% sure what that movie
was. Did he fucking do that fucking... He did Mars Attacks, did he? No, Ghosts of Mars.
Ghosts of Mars, that's what Escape from Mars became.
Ah.
Yeah.
Terror from Space. Well.
But anyway. Just say, Wes Craven does these crazy ideas, and somehow they work, and they work really well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess that is basically the story and writing section and how well done this whole movie was. I know... You're not a fan because there's only, what, 3 kills throughout the whole movie and you're a gore whore?
Wait, which movie?
In this one we're talking about.
I'm trying to, like, let me quickly run through the kills. The first person that dies is her fucking husband because he falls asleep. No. In the very beginning, in her dream, the two dudes die. And then it turns out to be true. The two, like, guys who are working on the claw thing. So there's two there, then her husband, which is 3... Then the babysitter, and that's it. Okay. 4 people.
Yeah, for a horror movie, there are
that's very mild.
Kills, which I kind of expect from a more quote-unquote mature horror film,
mm-hmm.
with more of an adult audience in mind, and that kind of goes back to the fact that the original, fans mm-hmm. of A Nightmare on Elm Street are now adults, so maybe they're more keen to the Rosemary's Baby of. Horror movies and that kind of... I haven't seen Rosemary's Baby, I'm sorry.
Really? It's a classic. You should watch it.
I know. It's been on Netflix forever, and I'm like, I need to watch it.
You should watch it, because that girl was killed by the Manson people.
Oh, shit. Was that Sharon Tate?
Yeah, and the director was, what's his face?
Roman Polanski.
Yeah, her husband.
Ah, shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought Mia Farrow was the star of that movie.
I don't fucking know. I'm pretty sure it was Sharon Tate, dude. Because everyone, like, thought she died because she cursed herself by being in that film.
Oh.
I don't think I'm wrong, bro.
Interesting. I was just listening to a podcast on the Manson family.
I just watched a Manson thing. And that's, I think that's how I...
Excuse me.
It's okay. You're excused, babe. Dang, she was super beautiful, too. It's a damn shame.
Totally. David's borrowing my book on the Manson family murders and hasn't read it.
Wait, but no, I don't think she was. I think you're right about the other girl.
Okay.
Maybe it's because she was with Roman Polanski and he decided to do that film that everyone was like, oh.
I mean, of course, you gotta blame the fact you're doing a witchcraft movie on the reason your wife was brutally slaughtered. That's not going to rub it in any harder.
Anyway, why don't you discuss the characters / acting?
I thought we moved on to story.
Did we?
Okay. Yeah.
You didn't even say anything about how you felt about their acting.
I thought everybody was wonderful. John Saxon is still sexy as hell.
Oh, like, yeah.
He literally didn't age at all between this movie and the original Nightmare on Elm Street
movie.
Yeah,
you're right. He did look the same when they gave a little shot of him at the funeral scene. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
It's just, he's very handsome. I want him to be my daddy.
Well, see how it is.
And I also question Heather's parenting skills a lot in this movie.
Me too. Yeah. Heather, a parent? Excuse me, but that kid was raised by the fucking babysitter.
Pretty much. And, like, he's in the hospital and he wants his stuffed animal. And she's like, well, you gotta get better and come home. It's like, no, your son is sick. Go get his comfort item.
Your son,
like,
clearly has childhood schizophrenia. And that's why he needs to be put into an air tent, because everything makes sense that way. Fucking Christ.
How does an air tent cure?
I don't fucking know. They put, that's so stupid, because you go in an air tent if you, like, almost drown. Or if you, like, were drowned but were resuscitated.
Does schizophrenia, like, air
No! Does it make all the air go out of your lungs? Fuck no. I don't know why they did that. Maybe he had a freaking freak out and he screamed so much he couldn't catch his breath. I don't know, man.
Oh my god.
Making it more than it has to be in that fucking hospital in Hollywood. They don't fucking know what they're doing. Christ sakes. Okay, story and writing. We're moving on. The first thing I have to say about this is, like, they need to take it easy with the earthquakes thing, okay?
It's California. They can't.
I know, but, like, there's seriously not that many earthquakes, no matter how close to the fucking fault line you are, in a week. They're like, there's 5 earthquakes. That's 1 earthquake per business day. That's, like,
but
insane.
Jacqueline, Mexico just had 2 earthquakes, and I'm pretty sure California is gonna get a big one soon.
A big one, not, like, 15.
And it's not really the tectonic plates rubbing against each other. It's Freddy.
Maybe they should move away.
Literally.
And then the girl's like, that's life on the fault line. It's like, fuck you. Everyone's so chill about it except for Heather. It's like she can't, like, understand that she lives in California. It's like, maybe you should go, like, move elsewhere, Heather.
Oh, yeah. In our original recording, you went on about how for California, they don't have those safety hooks built into
yes.
the furniture.
Yes. So, like, all her shit falls down, but I build furniture for a living, so when
that's
you build
a nice way to describe.
When you build furniture, you have these things that you attach to the back of large furniture pieces, such as, like, vanities, like, chest of drawers, or, like, you know, big bookcases, buffets, hutches, anything like that, and it goes in the back, the top, and the middle, and it's a stability, it's like a stability, like, strap thing, and it's, like, screwed into the top of the thing, and then you screw it into the wall, and then it won't tip over, like, front ways, so it'll just, like, stay attached to your wall. So that's usually for people in California. If they're prone to earthquakes, that's what it's made for. Or people who, like, slam doors and shit falls out. I don't know, but it could, anyone could use it, but it's made for people who live in California primarily. Yeah. And obvi, they don't have any of that shit, so
why would they?
Why, yeah, and why would they? They could just buy new shit. It's cool.
And it was a cool story element throughout how, and it's something that constantly pops up throughout the Freddy series. And by Freddy series, I obviously mean a Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Mm-hmm.
As that the more attention and more time you spend thinking about him, the stronger he gets.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like the way they tied this into, you know, from the moment Robert Englund steps out in the makeup, in the Freddy costume, and then just how they're showing how the love for this character is making this evil entity grow stronger. And that's something that's been evident since Glenn fucking mentioned it in the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie, is like, you know, if we just stopped thinking about him, he wouldn't have this power over us. And that's something that's been prevalent throughout the series since up to Freddy versus Jason, mm-hmm. when in Freddy's opening monologue of that movie, he's like, I can't come back if no one remembers me.
Yes. Now that movie is gold.
I love it so
God much. Damn, let's talk about a love-hate relationship with a film. That's it. Fucking love Freddy versus Jason.
I love it. I really am so sad every day there was never an official sequel to the movie. Because I think they wanted an official sequel where Ash from the Evil Dead series comes in to fight both of them.
Yeah, that's exactly what they wanted. And I think
they did it in comic book form, I'm pretty sure.
They did. Yes, ma'am, they did.
But I would have fucking loved an official movie with that.
Damn, with Bruce Campbell coming in like, what's up, motherfucker?
Like, dude, does New Line not realize how much that movie would have made? Even if it were to come out today with all the Evil Dead love that.
What has New Line been doing lately, Sam?
I have no idea.
Dumb shit that we don't care about or anything interesting? I don't fucking know.
I don't know. Is New Line even still around? I feel like I haven't seen a movie with the New Line logo in a really long time. Maybe that's the reason they couldn't do the movie is because they couldn't get rights to Ash. Because I know with the actual Freddy vs. Jason movie, there was a draft of the script where Freddy and Jason start fighting in hell, and then Pinhead comes in and he's like, is there going to be an issue, guys?
Is there going to be an issue? Well, they did It, the new one, currently. I'm just looking at, like...
Oh, shit, yeah.
It looks like they did Annabelle Creation.
Yeah.
They're going to do the new Blade Runner, too. Well, isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah, I was on Hulu yesterday, and I saw that there's like an Annabelle ripoff available for streaming. It's called Charlotte.
Charlotte.
I thought about watching it, but I.
Which name is scarier?
I don't know.
You know what? They should make a fucking movie. If you're into scary dolls, they need to make a movie about the Robert doll, which was like a legit haunted doll. I mean, not saying that Annabelle wasn't legit, but like, I'm getting sick of hearing about it, and like, I need a new thing now.
I'm actually kind of over the Warren case files.
Me too, right? Like, please, let's just...
Like, I am down to see Patrick Wilson in a movie. I think he is so handsome. Yeah, but
me too.
Free him from horror movies. Oh my god.
I know, like... right? It's like he's Insidious and then Conjuring. He can't escape it. It's like, here comes another, like, 15 sequel film. Get ready.
Like, I had no idea he was in Insidious until I watched it. And, like, Is that all he does now is horror movies?
Maybe he likes it.
He's either in horror movies or has a bit part in something.
Maybe he
random.
Likes horror movies.
Maybe. I know he was Night Owl in Watchmen.
Yes.
Which is where I first fell in love with him.
Really?
I just think he's really handsome.
Have you seen him in Hard Candy with Ellen Page?
I have not. I've been wanting to watch Hard Candy, though.
Damn. Yeah, it's literally just, like, two people in the movie, her and him. That movie's wild.
He had a small role in The Founder. I don't know if you watched that yet. That's, like, the story of how Ray Kroc stole McDonald's from the original Founders.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's really interesting. It doesn't paint him in a positive light at all.
No, I wanna watch that. Is that the McDonald's movie that
Michael Keaton, yeah.
Yes. Is that him? He's in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
He plays Ray Kroc. It's really interesting because they delve into how for the longest time McDonald's didn't actually use ice cream in their milkshakes. I don't think they even use milk. They use this like Instamix stuff that tastes just like a milkshake.
Wow.
But that's how they ended up saving a lot of money on freezer costs. Like, it's so shady what he did.
That just sounds like it's bad for your insides.
Probably. I mean, McDonald's in general isn't good for you.
Right, but, like, was it always like that? I feel like when, like, fast food starts out, they try to be, like, as good as possible, but then they just, like, start to slip.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you franchise something as big as McDonald's and it grew as fast as it did, you gotta find a way to keep that kind of quality up, so to say. So eventually when you get so popular, you can't really waste the time to make all the patties fresh, so you go to frozen. Anyway, let's get back to Nightmare.
Anyway,
on Elm
enough about McDonald's. Else.
Sorry, isn't that what a podcast is? Just drifting off on unrelated topics. Yep. Those are the best.
Yeah, I agree. Let's.
I can't wait to go back and edit this and figure out like how we get on these tangents.
I know. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
That's always fun.
It is fun. It's so fun to like re-listen. Okay, about the stalker like angle they're trying to play up here, they kind of drop the ball on that a lot, because like I kind of like, we get that she has a stalker in the beginning, then they drop the ball for like 3 hours, and then 3 hours go by, and then they're like, oh, she got a new thing in the mail. It's very bizarre, and I wish they would have played it up a little bit more crazy or a little bit more constant. That maybe he, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, they do drop the stalker thing very quickly, for fuck's sake. I don't know why Skype's not coming through my headphones like it should be. Sorry about that, folks at home. No, you're right. They don't play on the stalker aspect as much as they should.
She's like, I have a fan.
Like, wouldn't that just be the shit where Heather's just going crazy and Freddy's not coming back to life and it's just her stalker fucking around with her?
Right, right. You can't hear that, can you?
Hear what?
My Facebook notifications?
No.
It's like, boo-doo. Oh, fabulous.
So, let's see, what else is there to talk about in story?
Let's see. Fucking hell.
Reality. This is great. Oh. This is a great illustration of how it can become difficult to separate reality from your reality after becoming someone else for so long.
Yes. Oh, yes. Also, her trying to... She's gone back into her old habits of the character of Nancy, mm-hmm. once she's offered the part.
Yeah.
And it just kind of just, like, comes naturally, and she just becomes Nancy more and more and more. And even by the... Isn't it, like, by the end...
By the end, they're actually reliving the movie. Why do you keep calling me John, Nancy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, doesn't, like, her dad, like, say weird shit? Like, what's your name?
It essentially just turns into the ending of the original movie until she goes under the covers into Freddy's lair.
Yes.
And you made a good observation, I believe, when they're fighting down in their lair, and how... It kind of hones back to this weird sexual tension that's always existed between Freddy and Heather. He throws her against the wall right next to the word lust, and then he, like, wraps her up in his tongue.
His tongue, and then she stabs him in the penis and all that shit.
Yeah, like...
She stabs him right in the crotch. I didn't even realize that happened until, like, I saw her take the knife back out, because that's the only clear mm-hmm. shot you get of that, like, that scene, and I'm like, damn, she just stabbed him in between legs. I'm like, why is he in so much pain? But also, I made another note.
So weird how they've had this sexual chemistry with them, and it's never really been explicitly stated. It's just obviously there.
Right, right.
And I guess it falls under the whole Freddy Krueger was a child molester.
Oh, of course.
Although I do think Heather's a bit old for him now.
Right. So, well, then, like, to follow up on that, like, he
touches her son.
Yeah, yeah. When she gets the call, he's like, I touched him. And I was like, oh, shit. That was actually the part of the movie that I was like, it just jumped from 0 to 100 because I didn't know it was going to go in that direction. And then they literally just, like, laid it out for you. Like, I touched him. And I was like, oh, my God. And then he, like, freaked out and had, like, a seizure. I'm like, Jesus, that's why he's so fucked up. He doesn't have schizophrenia. He's, like, PTSD. He's had a trauma.
Totally.
But, and to go on that, I made another note today that... In the beginning, when they're reading the Hansel and Gretel book, and then she, like, doesn't want to read the rest of it to her kid, there's, like, tableaus, like, images in the book that directly reflect the very, like, the final part when she's in Freddy's lair. It's, like, the same thing, because he's in the fucking, oven, and then they push him in, and he dies. And I was like, wow, that's, like, the same image that's in the book, but instead mm-hmm. it's not Freddy, it's a witch.
Which I think is another really smart move in terms of story, just because for a lot of us kids growing up, our first introduction to kind of horror would have been a Grimm's fairy tale like Hansel and Gretel. Because unlike, you know, Cinderella and Snow White, those got censored for us, but then Hansel and Gretel has always just been Hansel and Gretel, the witch tries to eat the kids until the kids, like, push her into the stove. So it's always been a pretty horrifying story. There's, like, no beating around the bush there.
Right.
So I think it's really smart that Wes Craven took kind of that childhood horror story and grew it up and
right.
kind of like, have you ever seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
No.
You're missing out. It's really good. How did you get through high school? You went to an arts high school, that's why. Like, I watched that movie 3 times in high school because it's a retelling of The Odyssey by Homer.
Yes, yes.
And then I watched it in film studies because it's just a good movie overall. But there's a scene in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou where they're spying on a Ku Klux Klan rally, and it's a shot-for-shot remake of that scene in The Wizard of Oz when they first see the witch's castle.
Yeah.
And the soldiers are marching outside.
Oh, I see. Yes, yes, yes.
So it's just, it's another example of taking, like, something that scared us when we were a kid and making it scary to us as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Which is something more horror directors need to consider. And why we have this podcast is to talk about how things are scary in real life.
That's right. We're almost there.
Yeah.
Do you want to move on to production?
Yes. I feel like we've covered a lot of it throughout.
I know, right? Just us like talking about stuff.
This is usually just hitting on points we might have missed. Freddy's Lair is some scary shit.
It is very scary. It's very bizarre.
Did she stab him in the dick?
She did. Where did I say that? Oh, yeah. Did she stab him in the dick? Yeah, she did.
Like I said at the top of the show, we recorded this originally, like, 3 months ago, so we're kind of just going back to our initial thoughts from 3 months ago.
Right. regarding...
You just have a hard-on for Robert Englund.
Oh, I do. Oh, I love him. Oh, I think he's great.
One thing, I'm not sure if this is in terms of production or not, but I do like how the babysitter's death is a mirror of Tina's death from the original movie.
Of course, yes.
Where he's dragging her along the ceiling.
Freddy Magic. Why was I talking about Freddy Magic?
Because he just broke her neck.
Oh, yeah, he broke her neck, like, yeah, that's right, he did. Mm-hmm. He did a couple things in this movie that, like, wouldn't be done by another, like, you know, like, serial killer. Like, Michael yeah. Myers doesn't have any magic.
Like, this Freddy does things that normal Freddy wouldn't do. Like, I can never picture normal Freddy breaking someone's neck rather than slashing them.
That's true.
Yeah. But that's because this isn't really Freddy Krueger, it's, like, the devil.
It is the devil,
I know. It's a darker entity that's just taking the form of Freddy.
Yeah. Scary, like darker and eviler.
Not eviler.
Eviler.
It's like this is the Freddy that they wanted to do for the 2010 remake, which I hope goes on Netflix. If that goes on Netflix while we're doing this podcast,
we should
break our alphabetical order too.
Oh god, I remember when I saw that, I was so disappointed and just like,
I've only seen clips, and it does not hold up well.
It's no good. It's really no good. I mean, it's worth a watch just to see and to compare it, but, oh, God, it's terrible just because it's not... The thing about Freddy is that Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone can play them. But when Freddy Krueger is so vocally driven by, like, his character is driven by, like, how his voice ranges, you know what I mean, and his right. eccentricities come out through that. Once there's a new person playing Freddy and he tries to do that with his voice too, it just doesn't work.
Right.
It's terrible.
That's something that's so amazing about Robert Englund, is how he can be this jokester Freddy in the earlier movies and then play this Freddy who's just so much darker. Because
mm-hmm.
Robert Englund, I think, is a comedian by default.
Yeah. He's incredible. So. And then, like, in reality, when he's in the movie and he's just talking to Heather over the phone, his voice isn't really like that. He just, like, over-accentuates, you know, how his voice sounds. And he's just, like, right. sounds like a regular guy.
He's just fantastic.
He's fabulous. He's just.
I would love to just sit down and talk with Robert Englund for a few hours.
Yeah, I would love to meet him at a con. I don't even think he's ever been to a con around here. But
you're more likely to meet him at a con than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have very many around here. We have more artsy beer drinking festivals.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have moved to Area 51, Sam. It's fine.
I'm sorry. I got to prove aliens are real, Jacqueline. I mean, Stormy. Sorry, I used your birth name for a second.
That's okay.
They're going to find your real Facebook profile now.
Don't give them any ideas. If they can't find it anyway, they're not looking hard enough.
Jacqueline HP Monitor.
HP Monitor. what did I say? Oh, about the, okay, so the highway scene when the kid is, like, in the highway and Freddy's, like lifting him up and around and stuff like that by the scruff of his collar.
Oh, shit, that looks so good.
Listen, that fucking scene is so, like, anxiety-driven. Like, it makes me nervous to watch. And we could have literally done without that entire scene. And Heather could have died. Like, she should have. Because in LA, I've been there, and like
traffic is not that forgiving.
9 lanes of it is not that forgiving, especially at night when there's fucking tractor trailers. Like, you don't just duck under the tractor trailer; you just die. You die.
You know, it's really Heather's fault that he was even crossing that 9 lane highway, because she was like, "Our house is right across the highway."
Mm-hmm.
She shouldn't have put that image in his head. I'm not victim blaming. I'm just stating the obvious.
No, yeah, no, you're just trying to, like, keep it real, which is fine.
Yeah, but no, I think that scene looks great today. Even Freddy just comes from the sky, and
I know, and then there's an army of them, like, on the one side, and I'm like, oh shit,
that's a fun scene.
So in the end, the door is blue.
Fuck no.
But like, I don't know when the red door
is red.
Even happens. When did we see that? Because I know we had to have seen it, because we wouldn't be talking about it otherwise.
It wouldn't. Is the door red now, and that's why we think it's red? Because I know the house is on a Hollywood tour, so did they paint the door red, and that's why we all think it's red now? Or is the Mandela effect real?
The door is blue. The door is blue in the original. But let me see.
Tweet at us.
Let me see what color it is in Freddy vs. Jason.
No, I remember. I have a distinct memory. I don't know where my DVD of it is, but there's a deleted scene in Freddy vs. Jason where Monica's whatever the fuck her name is, she's like, I need to prove this isn't the Freddy house. And so she goes up to her door and scrapes off the paint. It's green paint, but then underneath it's red paint because the door is red. Why is it blue?
It's red. Okay, so it's red the whole movie in Freddy vs. Jason, and it looks like in the deleted scene it's actually yellow and this underneath is red.
So where does the red door come in if it's been blue?
I don't know. It was blue the whole time, wasn't it?
Guys, tweet at us.
I'm so confused.
What's our Twitter handle?
At realhorrorshow_pod. Wait.
No, I think it's __.
Fuck.
Tweet at us at horrorshow__pod and tell us
Let me get
when
on the
was
Twitter.
The door red.
Let me get on the Twitter and like see. Yeah, real. It's at horrorshow__pod. Yeah.
Okay.
Or just like look on the website and you'll find it. Just please let us know. We're desperate.
Let's revamp this whole podcast.
The door.
And turn it into.
Is it fucking red?
About the door.
Is it blue? When does it become red? Why is, like, what the fuck? I don't understand. It's fucking outrageous. Jesus.
Okay. So I have a meeting at 7. I already told them I'll be late. Mitch says hi, by the way.
Who says fucking hi?
Mitch.
Oh, well, I like Mitch. Hey.
I'm sorry.
He's all right. I'm not going to fucking, like, submit any shit to you guys because it's too expensive.
It's $4 for a poem.
I just submitted a poem to, like, a very, very, like, good, like, Portland-based publication. It was free. All right?
Portland, Maine?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh. The good Portland.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the reality of this film, and then I'll let you go.
Okay. Let's see. Stalkers are really scary.
Yes, they are scary. They would be even scarier if they were played up more.
Yeah, if they were actually a problem and not just making prank phone calls.
And, like, sending weird shit in the mail, letters and stuff.
Yeah.
That they keep. Okay. Blurred reality with actors. It happens. Actors get so crazy, they get all caught up in their characters, they end up dying. Getting themselves killed.
Absolutely.
They can't sleep at
Heath
night.
Heath Ledger.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah. I miss him. I always forget that he's dead and then...
I keep forgetting that Wes Craven is dead.
I forget that Brittany Murphy is dead.
Oh, I don't.
All the time.
I don't forget that because I... Because it still hurts. I can't believe that she's gone. It's crazy.
No, like, it breaks my heart every time I remember. Uptown Girls is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Uptown Girls, that's a good one. I love, like, any movie Brittany Murphy's in. She's great.
She's just... She's such so, a rom-com...
God, she's beautiful.
Rom-com queen.
She's fantastic. All right, child molestation. That's scary.
Oh, definitely. We talked about this a lot with the original Nightmare on
Elm
Street.
Yeah, if you
want
to listen to a, like, hour-long discussion on child molestation, listen to the previous episode. Yes. Yeah. What's that? Shared nightmares. Did I put that?
I think so.
It's just, it happens. It's an actual phenomenon where, like, a lot of people will have the same nightmare. But it's hard to say if it's real or not, because you can say, hey, I dreamt about this, and you can be like, hey, it could be so vague that you can be like, actually, I had a dream similar to that a month ago, you know? So it's just a kind of like a group think type of a thing. It's like a, you know.
Right.
Tweet at me, psych majors, if I'm wrong. Mental illness, schizophrenia. That's scary. When the doctor's just like, boom, your child is obviously schizophrenic because he screams a lot.
Yeah, and we talked about this with the original recording, and I still don't think it's ableist to say, you know, it's a real fear that I think a lot of us with mental illness, I say a lot of us, I haven't, like, officially been diagnosed with depression, but I'm pretty fucking sure I have depression. And that's not something I want to genetically pass down to my child.
Right, right.
Like,
yeah,
I think
I'm sure everybody
pretty...
worries about that.
I think it would be pretty fucked up if you were okay passing this horrible, like, mental illness to your offspring, because they're just, it's not a fun time.
Because you know that you're suffering yourself, and why would you want to
exactly
put that on your child, you know? You just want, like, them to have the best life.
Yeah, and it's not ableist to say that, because depression, schizophrenia, any mental illness where you're literally at war with your own mind all the time, it's...
sucks.
Probably scary, and there's not a lot of support
out
there for people like us, because, you know, mental illness isn't something we like to talk about here in America, especially this was 1994. So just like DID was still multiple personality syndrome, right?
A multiple personality disorder, yeah. Now it's dissociative identity.
Yeah, so just... even, like, back then, it was probably so much worse to have a mental illness, because we were still... like, in 1994, wasn't homosexuality still in the psychological disorder book?
Probably.
Like, it wasn't until recently they took,
like,
that shit out.
That's, like, super new. Wow, yeah.
But...
that's new.
So, back then, even, there wasn't help out there for you, and it's totally understandable why Heather would be scared that she passed schizophrenia to her son, because that's something he would have to suffer from for the rest of his life. Like, fuck, if you have schizophrenia and you forget to take your pills one day, you're just gonna have an awful time.
You're just gonna lose time.
Yeah, I was in psychology in undergrad, we watched a video about what it's like for someone with schizophrenia, and it is literally a horror movie,
dude. Yeah, IRL. That's a real horror show. Have you seen the Slenderman documentary on HBO?
I think so.
It's,
I think,
what
I watched
it. Is it called? It's called, like,
Beware the Slender.
Yeah, it's called Beware the Slender Man. Listen, the one girl that, you know how both girls, like, killed their friend. The one was schizophrenic.
Absolutely.
Because her father was very severely schizophrenic, and he passed it on to his child, and she was very, very severely schizophrenic because she had no treatment.
Yes. And that's especially terrifying, because for most people, I don't think schizophrenia starts becoming, the symptoms aren't apparent until they're in their 20s.
Right.
So if you're a child who's had it passed down to them, it's...
Yeah.
You're not going to get the treatment you need.
Right, right.
God. I one of the reasons I don't want to have kids is because I don't think I could handle it.
Right, right.
With my, like, own mental problems.
No, it's understandable. Anyway.
But I think that about wraps it up. I think we did a great job
Hitting
all our talking points this time around. We're getting better at this.
Uh-huh. Overall, I give it a meh. Still, it just takes forever to watch. Forever.
I mean, it is long, but I think it's just really good, so I have to give it an aw yeah.
You give it an aw yeah? I still give it a meh. It's good, but okay. Meh.
Well, I think you're a stupid slut.
I think you're a fucking dumb bitch. Anyway, let me wrap this shit up, Sam, so you can get to your fucking Junto meeting. You can fucking tell Mitch that it's too expensive for me.
Okay, I also have to go to the bathroom. Maybe since you were a former editor, they'll
let it be for free.
Yeah. I'll just sneak you into an issue.
Cool. Oh my god, you should. That'd be so bad. I'll just email you something. Anyway.
Okay.
Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed by Sam Odie. I think today what we learned, we didn't learn anything because we still don't know why the door is red and when it becomes red.
Fucking tell us why it's red. Why is it blue?
Help us because we're freaking out. We don't fucking know what happened.
It's triggering.
I don't fucking know what's going on. Anyway. Like what you hear? You can find Real Horror Show on SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. Is that all we're on right now, Sam? Anything new?
Not anything new.
Okay. Do you really, really like what you hear? You can follow us on Twitter for the 1,000th time, please. The Twitter handle is @horrorshow_pod. Or you can just search for Real Horror Show on Twitter if that's too difficult to find. Or you can follow us on Facebook @real_horrorshow. Like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found on, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? You can comment on our website or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. We just received our first fan letter. Check it out if you want to, you know, send us anything and become a fan, like a stalker. That's fine with us. Send us something. It's cool.
Yeah, this movie doesn't really make stalkers seem like a big deal, so...
Yeah, why don't you make it a big deal, fans out there? Make it a big deal. Want to argue with us about something or think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Leave us a comment and let us know. Or check out the contribute page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it's not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. We post written reviews... I don't know. As often as we can right now, we'll get you a by the book schedule as soon as we can. We're working
someday
on it. We still have lives too, you guys, okay? Seriously.
Chill the fuck out.
Yeah, for real. We're getting freaking stressed out here. Keep your eyes open for the next written review. I don't know what it's going to be or when it's going to happen, but we'll let you know, okay? Anyway, just keep your eyes open for this podcast, you know, recording. It's going to be coming out soon.
Yeah. And the next movie we will cover, we're officially going to start going in alphabetical order on Netflix. So the first movie we will be covering is #horror. And I know what you're probably thinking, but the first alphabetical movie is Record number 4. Well, I haven't seen the first 3 Records, and I hear they're really good, so I want to do them justice if we ever get to them.
Yes. Cool.
So #horror.
#horror. There are no other pertinent news pieces. Sam's all right. She doesn't have her mic like mine yet, but she has a good one anyway.
Yeah, I'm borrowing my Blue Yeti. Actually, mine should be coming on Saturday.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Hopefully this one actually works.
Okay. Oh, that's good. All right. Well, fabulous. Well, that's all I have to say. So thank you. Fuck off and have a swell evening.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Right on. Goodbye.